Hello, this is Don from Illinois Radio Reader, and this is Tuesday, June 20, and I'm going to be reading the Danville Commercial News. First article on page one is the Council to Act on Rezoning and Roadwork. Dateline Danville, a rezoning petition for property along Illinois Route 1 near Walmart is among the items the Danville City Council is expected to act on tonight. City Council members will consider amending the zoning ordinance and map to approve a rezoning petition for RGM LLC, it's the company, for 22864 State Route 1 to be rezoned from an R1 single-family residential zoning to B3 general business zoning. The property is to the west of the intersection going to Walmart off North Vermilion Street. A telephone message for Walled Land Corporation, to which RGM is a subsidiary, was not returned. According to city officials, rezoning is to allow for the property's consolidation with the lot to the north so the entire property can be marketed for development. Danville Planning and Urban Services Manager Chris Mulliken said of the 5 acres of land, 2.5 acres are zoned R1 to the south, and the other northern half is zoned R3. From a marketing perspective, they wanted it all zoned the same, Mulliken said. There are no specific plans for the property, he added. All the outlots Walled Land also owns in the area of Walmart also are zoned for B3 businesses. In other business on Tuesday, the council members will consider the following. First, approving a $60,344 seal coat program contract with Daniel Ribby Trucking, Inc. to seal coat East Coast's East Gate Drive and also Lynch Road from the CSX Railroad to Interstate 74. In other action, they will council plans to approve a $116,686 microsurfacing program contract with Microsurfacing Contractors Limited Liability Corporation for Lynch Road. Also, appointing Diana Witzel, co-owner of Vermilion County McDonald's and a Vermilion County board member, to the Housing Authority of the City of Danville's board. She would replace Don McLaughlin. Another action, the council will authorize the vacation of an alleyway near 1111 Chandler Street for Senzio and Juana Sanchez. This is half of an east-west alley. And finally, the council will take up the approval of a $124,795 contract for the Cleveland, Delaware sewer improvement with Owens Excavating and Trucking Company. But also, they will consider creating an Illinois Housing Development Authority Abandoned Property Program Fund to account for the $71,000 the city received from IHDA for demolition and greening of targeted properties east of Griffin Street and south of Main Street. Finally, the council will consider authorizing a budget amendment in the city's Community Reinvestment Fund. That concludes the article from the city, Danville City. Here's a front page article about some teenagers. Teens draw, that's in quotes, on art camp experience. Danville. A half dozen teens intently studied a random grouping of bottles, a rock, and a knick-knack Monday morning at Danville Area Community College. The teens continued to look at the grouping, noting the shapes of the items as they drew on their sketch pads what they saw from their perspective. The Studio 101, Creating the Artist in Tomorrow's Camp, is being conducted in conjunction with the First Gig Music Camp all this week at Danville Area Community College. The participants of both camps will showcase their talent during the Art Beat Music Week, which runs from Wednesday through Saturday in downtown Danville. Art camp instructor and Armstrong Township High School art teacher Jennifer Heldrick kept the teens busy on the first day of camp with some observational drawing outside on the community college campus and art lessons on continuous line drawing, shading, perspective, and shapes. The teens also took selfies of their face with their cell phones Monday that Heldrick will print out on large paper. Later this week, the young artists will dip different colors of embroidery floss in a glue mixture and outline the printout of their face to make their own continuous line art. On Monday, as the teens worked on their still-life drawings of the grouping of bottles in the middle life of their table, Heldrick reminded them, "Observe your shapes. Are they block, cylinder, or a combination?" The team seemed to have no trouble sketching what they saw, although some drew slowly and carefully. Heldrick encouraged them. "This will get better with practice," she said. "The more you do, the better you get." Some of the other art activities planned during the week-long camp include a pour painting using fluid acrylic paints, making pinhole cameras, doing charcoal drawings and colored pencil drawings, and dabbling with watercolor paints. Heldrick said, "We want to build their skills and teach them how to apply them in real life," adding that she participated in a teacher trek last week in which the community college instructors visited local businesses such as Washfire, ThyssenKrupp, and Danville Metal Stamping. Heldrick said she learned that many workplaces seek employees who are creative and can solve problems, which are skills that artistic people possess. She said, "That's information we could take back to our students." One of the teens, Nigel Ludwig of Danville, is a repeat participant in the camp. She said, "It's fun, and I learn a lot. I like drawing, but I like learning new things here." That's the story about the teens' art camp for today. Here's a story from the Danville family on the YWCA. This one is from the Champaign News-Gazette. A new director is in the spotlight. Deadline, Danville. One of Linus Vanderwist's immediate goals as the new head of the Danville Family YMCA is to get to know the community. The 32-year YMCA veteran, who took over as CEO Executive Director on June 12, will get the chance to do that at an open house from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at the Daniel Facility, 1111 North Vermillion Street. It's open to the public. Vanderwist succeeds Michael Brown, who resigned July 21. He was selected from among 10 candidates and 3 finalists, capping a year-long national search that was temporarily suspended when the facility was going through some personnel changes, said YMCA Board President Dan Westner. Westner said Vanderwist stood out because of his extensive experience, including several facilities. Westner said, "We also wanted someone with a solid fundraising background. He's had experience leading successful capital campaigns at his previous facilities where he's been the CEO. That's going to be very helpful for us. And he's also very friendly. And the staff was very complimentary toward him," Westner went on. "He seemed to be a good fit for our staff." A Wisconsin native, Vanderwist started working for the YMCA a week after he graduated with a degree in recreational administration from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse in 1985. "I've always liked athletics and working with people," said Vanderwist, who first served as program director for the Knox County YMCA in Galesburg, his wife Kelly's hometown. He said, "After a short time, I realized it was an organization I wanted to work with throughout my career." Vanderwist went on to hold leadership positions at facilities in Naperville, Davenport, Iowa, and Aurora, Colorado. He also served as assistant executive director under John Brazier at the Danville facility in 1989. He became the executive director of YMCA's in Kewaunee in 1999 and then Galesburg in 2001, where he served for more than a decade. At the next Knox County YMCA, he led 2 capital campaigns to expand the facility and create an outdoor sports complex. He also helped double the membership from about 3,500 members to more than 7,000. Board President Westner said Vanderwist will help the Danville facility start to evaluate its programming and hopefully look at ways it can move more competitively with other area fitness centers. He also said the board has discussed launching another capital campaign in the future. He said Vanderwist will help assess and prioritize the needs of the 45-year-old facility. "There's quite a lot that could be put on that list," he said. And that concludes the story about the new director at the YMCA. Returning to the front page of the commercial news, we see an article under the Summer of Service. Teens roll up sleeves to help area residents. Here's a picture here of about 5 young teens cleaning out gutters at the Westville home of Donna Haluska. The teens are named. They are Jared Lambert, Dominic Gigax, A.B. Nijin, and leader Kyle Smith. This is Dateline to Westville. Donna Haluska is healthy enough to do chores around her home, but bursitis in a hip keeps her from heavy-duty jobs. She said, "This is the big stuff I can't do, watching two teenagers climb ladders and clean out the gutters on her home." Inside, two more teenagers and the group leader were preparing to paint the ceiling in her living room. She said, "They're all very nice and polite. They haven't been goofing off." The four teens, all 16 years old, and their leader are part of the week-long Catholic Heart work camp based in Florida. About 250 teens and 50 adults from across the county are assigned to homes and parks in the Champaign, Mahomet, and Vermilion County area this week. Their week of service reaches out to those in need by helping with painting, repairs, cleaning, organizing, yard work, food distribution, working with children, and other tasks. There are 15 youth groups represented, including one from Mahomet. She assigns them to work groups, mixing them up so the teens can get to know other teens from across the country. In Vermilion County, small groups of teens helped out at three homes in Westville, two in Georgetown, at Resurrection Cemetery in Danville, and the Kennecuck County Park near Danville. "This is the first year that so many sites were chosen in the county," said Mickey Neckgrunt, manager of the Champaign Area Work Camps. Faith in Action of Vermilion County was responsible for suggesting some of the sites, she said. In fact, that's how Haluska found out about the work camp. A volunteer with Faith in Action, Haluska said she was at a luncheon when she heard about the program. Haluska, age 69, joked, "I can use this myself." Johnson Flanagan, program coordinator with Faith in Action, told her, "You can do so much for everyone else. Let them do something for you." Haluska said she also volunteers with Hospice Hearts Animal Rescue. The teens plan to be at Haluska's house 2 days and were going to organize her garage if there's time. Kyle Smith, 22, of Bronson, Michigan, is team leader for the four teams at the Westville home. He's a senior at Western Michigan University, majoring in marketing. This is his seventh year with the Heart Work Camp, including the past two as a leader. He said he enjoys meeting new people and stays in touch with people he's met on past summer camps. Dominic Gigax of Egerton, Ohio, is in her third year as a volunteer. In the past, she's worked in a food bank in Mishawaka, Indiana, and at a woman's shelter in Louisville, Kentucky. About 48 people from Ohio drove to Illinois in a car caravan, she said. She said, "I like seeing people's reaction when they see all the work we've done. Besides, the whole camp is fun. In the evenings, the youth play games and socialize and spend time on prayer or religious activities. Most of the camp participants are Catholic, but it's not a requirement." Nicholas Martin of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, said helping people is his thing. He mows neighbors' yards and wants to be a mechanic someday. "I really like to help people," he said. "This makes me want to help people even more." His mother signed him up without his knowledge, but he said it's really cool so far. A.B. Nijin of Tulsa, Oklahoma, said what she likes about the experience is helping other people, connecting with God, and having fun. "So far, it's very fun and everyone is welcoming," she said. She arrived on a bus with 40 to 50 other people from three parishes in Oklahoma. Jared Lambert of Natchez, Mississippi, agreed that the trip has been fun, and he also enjoys meeting the girls. This is his first trip, and he arrived with a group of 26 people from one parish in Mississippi. The students are sleeping on the floor of the high school at St. Thomas More in Champaign. Their last day of service is Thursday. The Heart Work Camp started in 1993 in Orlando, Florida, with 100 campers. In its 25 years, the Heart Work Camp has grown to include this year more than 13,000 campers in 50 cities across the country and several international camps. "This is the 10th year for the Champaign Area Program," Nick Rentz said. "The first site was Kennecuck Park, where they worked on trails and built a dock for the handicapped." The goal of the Heart Work Camp is twofold. It gives teens the chance to serve and give back to the community. They also have an opportunity to live out their faith. Well, that concludes a very interesting and heartwarming story about teens working in the Champaign and Vermilion County areas this summer. I'm going to turn now to the obituaries for June 20 from the Commercial News, and the first one I see is for Carol Wayne Parker Sr. Carol Wayne Parker Sr. of Westville passed away at 8:32 p.m. Thursday, June 15, 2017 at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A celebration of Carol's life will be at 2 p.m. Thursday, June 22 at Sunset Urbis Funeral Home, 414 South State Street, Westville. Visitation will be noon to 2 p.m. Thursday prior to his service at the funeral home. As per his wishes, he will be cremated. The next obituary is for Phyllis Baisley. Phyllis Jean Baisley, age 83 of Danville, formerly of Potomac, who passed away at 2:08 a.m. on Saturday, June 10, 2017, at her home in Danville. At Phyllis's request, no visitation or funeral services will take place. Instead, a memorial celebration of Phyllis's life will be held on Saturday, June 24, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall, 619 East Voorhees Street, Danville. Memorials may be made to the Iroquois Memorial Hospital. The next obituary is for Iona Placidia, age 99 of Danville, who passed away at 10:50 p.m. June 15, 2017. Iona was born in Danville on June 5, 1918. A graveside service for Iona will be held at Spring Hill Cemetery at 301 East Voorhees Street in Danville on Tuesday, June 20. That's today, at 10 a.m. Officiating will be Pastor Dave Garver. Sunset has been entrusted with making the arrangements. The next obituary is for Shanta Lanice Taya Shaw Brigham, age 39 of Danville. She transitioned from her life death at 2:32 a.m. Wednesday at Carl Therapy Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A homecoming celebration will commence at noon Wednesday, June 21, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. until the time of service. Officiating Pastor Charles Hargrove, Sr. Interment will be at Spring Hill Cemetery. Viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Tuesday, June 20, 2017 at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williamson Street. Then here's an obituary for Eugene L. Jones, age 87, of Danville, passed away at 7:20 p.m. at Danville Care Nursing Home on June 15. He was a celebration of life service will be held at 1 p.m. on Thursday, June 22, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will be at the Danville National Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, June 21, at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to the Alzheimer's Foundation or the Dementia Society of America. Another obituary is for David Lee Slade, age 71, who passed away on June 18, 2017, in Champaign, Illinois. Per his wishes, there will be no visitation. Interment will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday, June 21, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with full military honors. And here's another obituary for Kenneth G. Pishon of Oakwood. Kenneth Jean Kenny Pishon, age 84 of Oakwood, passed away at 6 a.m. Saturday, June 17, 2017, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville. A celebration of Kenny's life will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, June 21, at Sunset's Oakwood Chapel, 105 East Main Street, Oakwood, with Patty Wise officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. today, Tuesday, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Oakwood Cemetery. That concludes my reading of the obituaries for today. Let's return now to the news. Here's a story from Westville. Update in store for 9/11 system. Changes are coming to the way Westville police receive calls from the Vermilion County 911 system. Police Chief David Bowie told trustees that the county's 911 dispatch system is being converted to the next generation 911 system. Bowie said, "With this new system, our officers will be seeing what the information the 911 dispatchers are entering into their consoles. With the old system, when a 911 dispatcher took a call, they entered the information into the computer system and then would select which agency to contact for a first response." According to Bowie, with the NG911 system, officers would see exactly what the 911 dispatcher is entering and would be able to start his or her response sooner. He said all police cars in the county would give out a GPS signal, and officers can tell with a look at the screen who is closest to the 911 caller. This cuts several minutes off our response time, Bowie said. He also said there is a safety factor with a GPS located in each car. He said if an officer has a problem and does not respond, the GPS signal will tell the 911 center and other officers where the officer's car is located. Another advantage of the system is that calls do not have to be broadcast over the radio. Police officers can receive the call by text message. Here's another story from Westville, actually about Forest Glen. Young pioneers to trek through Forest Glen, Westville. A youth group affiliated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints plans to trek later this week through Forest Glen County Preserve east of Westville. Susan Warner, a Vermilion County Conservation District educator, said the group is expected to be dressed in period clothing reminiscent of the mid-1800s and pulling carts Thursday and Friday through Forest Glen. She said this is all going to be a young people participation. They're going to have a hard trek on our trails, especially pulling carts. It's supposed to mimic what their ancestors went through as they traveled west. I think it will be fascinating to see. Warner checked with a representative from the church who said the group would welcome spectators since the trek was not part of a religious activity. Warner said they're coming from all over. They'll be camping overnight. The Gannett Center will be used as a cooling station as in an area where meals will be prepared for the group. Church member Amy Stevens of Charleston said about 50 teens, ranging in age from 14 to 18, who attend the church will participate in the activity. Stevens said the church members meet in Champaign, but the church covers the territory from south of Effingham to Danville on the east and to Champaign on the west. It's not a reenactment, she said, of the activity. It's a trek, kind of like they did during pioneer times. They do these activities a lot out west. Stevens went on to say this is a project that's been going on for a year and a half, adding that a couple of church members visited Forest Glen last week to map out the trek. The kids will be in old-fashioned clothes and pulling handcarts, she said. The parents or the youth made their clothing. The youth will be divided into small so-called family groups that will be assigned an adult mom and pa to oversee the activity. They're also limited in what personal belongings they can bring, she said of the teens. The first day of the trek will be on remote trails in wooded areas of the park, but Stevens said the public has the best chance of seeing the teams on Friday when they trek along the park's paved roads. So if you want to see some teens trekking through Forest Glen on Friday, you might go over and watch them as they march along the paved roads. Here's a brief article from Tilton, the Tilton Village Board. Paramedic services are on call 24/7. The Tilton Village Board approved a one-year agreement with Pro Ambulance and Oakwood Emergency Services to provide 24-hour paramedic services. Pro will cover the labor workman's compensation costs as well as providing a vehicle. Tilton and Oakwood will provide space for the paramedic as well as some equipment. The paramedic would work a 24-hour shift, splitting time between Tilton and Oakwood. As part of the agreement, Tilton will raise the cost of its ambulance calls to match Pro's rates. A basic life support call will increase to $613, and an advanced life support call will raise to $992. That from the Tilton Village Board. Here's an article about a local young woman. Foster crowned Miss Illinois. Abby Foster, a 2015 Oakwood High School graduate, was crowned Miss Illinois 2017 during ceremonies Saturday night in Marion. Foster, age 20, competed as Miss East Central. She was Miss Vermilion County Fair in 2015 and Miss Illinois Fair Queen in 2016. In addition, Foster will receive a $10,000 scholarship from the Miss Illinois Scholarship Organization. Foster, hailing from Danville, performed a dance to the song Rise Up as her talent, according to the Southern Illinoisan. She received her crown wearing a long red evening gown. Ms. Foster will now go on to compete in September for the Miss America title in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I'm turning now to the opinion page, and I see here an editorial from the commercial news staff. Fair time means lots of fun. Area residents can enjoy not one, but two county fairs this week. The Vermilion County 4-H Fair and Expo starts in earnest on Wednesday at the fairgrounds just west of Danville on U.S. Route 150, and the Vermilion County Fair already is going strong at its site just south of Cayuga, Indiana, on Indiana Route 63. Both fairs feature many of the tried-and-true attractions of county fairs in the Midwest. Visitors will be able to enjoy carnival rides, local vendors, special entertainment, the crowning of a queen, and that oh-so-good-but-not-so-good-for-you fair food. Both fairs also show off dozens of entries from 4-H Club members and participants in open contests in a wide range of categories. The 4-H entries allow club members to show off their handwork from the past year, whether it's in a livestock category or one of the many other areas of interest. The quality of the effort put into the contest is inspiring. With so much negativity about young people today on social media, as well as in the traditional media, the participants in these contests prove that many young people can excel, and the many adult volunteers and the parents who lend a hand along the way deserve a round of applause as well. So pack up the family and head out to the fair. The weather forecast looks pretty good for the rest of the week, and an afternoon of carnival rides, viewing exhibits, and filling up on junk food will add to an enjoyable journey for all. Here's some community briefs about some activities coming up. First is in Danville. Craft activity is set. There will be a free craft workshop at 9 a.m. Wednesday at Christ Health Aging Center. Participants will make decorative containers from baby food jars and a crocheted dishcloth. Supplies will be provided, but crocheters are encouraged to bring their own hooks, try size G or H, and yarn, preferably cotton, such as sugar and cream. Class size is limited. Register today by calling 217-443-2999. There is going to be a visiting author. Historian and author Bob O'Connor will discuss his new book, Southern Oasis in Gettysburg, at 3 p.m. Friday in the first floor meeting room at the Danville Public Library. Copies of his book will be available for purchase and autographs. Well, here's a little article tucked away in the bottom of the second page of the news today from Washington, Indiana. Amish horse teams batter Western Indiana's county's paved roads. Gravel roads in a rural southwestern Indiana county recently paved with asphalt to boost economic development are being damaged by horse teams used by the region's large Amish population, according to frustrated county officials. Daviess County has more gravel roads than any other Indiana county, with nearly 600 miles of such roads, the Washington Times Herald reported. County officials have been using grant money to pave some of those roads with asphalt, but the newly paved roads quickly suffer damage from the impact of steel horseshoes worn by the horses pulling Amish buggies. Well, that ends the story about some road problems in one of our adjoining Indiana counties, and it concludes my reading of the Danville Commercial News for today on Tuesday, June 20. This is Don saying goodbye for now, and look forward to reading for you again at some future time.